This is Cradle My Heart Radio with your host, Kim Cotola. Cradle My Heart Radio, preventing abortion and helping those it hurts.
This is where the healing begins. Oh, this is where the healing starts. When you come to where you're broken within, the light meets the dark. The light meets the dark.
And now, Kim Cotola and Cradle My Heart Radio.
Thank you so much for joining us for this edition of Cradle My Heart Radio, where our mission is preventing abortion and helping those it hurts. And one of the best ways I think that we can do this is to expose the deception and the lies that are at the heart of abortion on every level. It's based on deception and lies at the individual level for the people that are making that choice, the couples, the men, women who are making that choice. Very seldom given full information about fetal development or about the other things that would lead to a truly informed choice. There's deception at the level of public policy. There's just a lot of deception. And when abortion was legalized in the 1970s, there was deception. We're going to talk today with Terry Beatley, who's the author of a new book, What If We've Been Wrong? Keeping My Promise to America's Abortion King. Terry, welcome to Cradle My Heart Radio.
Thanks for having me on, Kim. I'm looking forward to it.
So, Dr. Nathanson wrote a book a number of years ago before he passed away called The Hand of God. He's written other books, and he published a video in the 1980s, The Silent Scream, many people are familiar with. If you're not, I recommend that you watch it. You can still see it on YouTube. Give us the brief background about who Dr. Nathanson was in terms of the role that he played in making abortion legal.
Yeah, he's sort of like an unknown figure today, but he's known as the father of the modern day abortion industry. He called himself the keeper of the abortion industry keys, and the reason for that is he co-founded the organization. Today it's called NARAL Pro-Choice America, NARAL. Back in 1968-69, it was the National Association for the Repeal of Abortion Law. So it was a political organization, as it still is today, and their number one goal was to go state by state overturning any anti-abortion law, so decriminalizing abortion in all 50 states. So Dr. Nathanson became the medical face of this whole pro-abortion movement. Because back then it was very fractured, very splintered, and the co-founders of NARAL believed that if they could be the first ones out of the gate with a pro-abortion organization, they would be able to become basically the nation's leader in this, and indeed they did, which I can get into greater details. So he's key. To unlock the story of Dr. Nathanson and the truth that he left behind, what I like to say is that's how we're going to unlock this demonic stronghold that's been keeping Americans shackled for over 40 years, as well as millions of women and men.
And so, Terry, by the way, if you are completely unfamiliar with Dr. Nathanson's history, we have a short book review about The Hand of God posted at cradlemyheart.org. Just search for it in the archives. It'll give you a quick summary of the fact that he was a Jewish physician who was doing abortions in New York, one of the few places where it was legal in America. And he met somebody who wanted to expand abortion rights. And they came up with the strategies that you outline and that he talks about inflating the figures and about attacking the Catholic Church for their role in upholding the sanctity of life. There were a number of things that they were very effectively deployed and that are still in place. And it's interesting to note, to me, the most fascinating thing about Dr. Nathanson's story is that he tells us how, a lot of people will have a faith belief that teaches them the sanctity of life. So they'll be believers, then they'll become pro-life, then they'll become against abortion. He went the other way. He started out as an atheist, even though he grew up, studying Judaism, but his father forbid him from practicing it. So he went from an atheist to an abortionist to a pro-life activist to a Christian. It's a fascinating story.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
well, it's the science. It's, you know, I think for your listeners, it's important to understand it was the science of real-time ultrasound that convicted his mind, if you will, that he was murdering people. And this happened just 2 months after the Roe v. Wade decision, which he celebrated. So a lot of people don't understand, his propaganda, NARAL's propaganda, paved the way for the Roe v. Wade decision. And he celebrated. He was happy about it. But then just 2 to 3 months after Roe v. Wade, the hospital he was working at rolled in a brand new technology. And that technology was real-time ultrasound. So the father of the modern-day abortion industry became pro-life after looking at the babies smile and wiggle their toes and suck their thumbs, real-time ultrasound. So,
and it's and people need to know that he had an abortion in an early relationship, and then he performed an abortion on a woman that he had impregnated. And these things most certainly informed what he was doing. All of that unprocessed grief was absolutely a part of his story, and he wrote about that in detail. And as you say, he also wrote about the fact that when he was lobbying for abortion rights, there were exactly 5 articles on fetology in the medical literature. It was based on ignorance, really based on ignorance. So tell me about meeting Dr. Nathanson.
Yeah, could I touch on about the ignorance before I get it?
Sure.
Sure. I think a lot of, well, you'll hear politicians say this, just the uninformed. You know, they'll use legalizing abortion as a reason for decreasing maternal death due to delivery. And nothing could be farther from the truth because, you know, it didn't get legalized until, you know, officially 1973 with Roe v. Wade. You know, a few other states had already decriminalized it. But what people don't know is that back in 1930, there were about 700 women dying per 100,000 live births. So 700 per 100,000 live births due to complications due to, you know, maternal delivery. And then just 15 years later, by 1945, that had been slashed in half to about 350 due to advances in medicine and science and better C-sections and antibiotics and all this. But then by 1960, it was down to about 30 mothers dying due to complications to delivery. So when NARAL shows up on the scene in 1969, they have nothing to do with the decrease in maternal death due to legalizing abortion. This is key, because that's one of the reasons they'll say, oh, well, you know, what's going to happen? If it becomes illegal again, well, one thing that's not going to happen is we're not going to have an increase in maternal death due to delivery, so complications due to delivery, because that had already been taken care of. How I ended up interviewing Dr. Nathanson is I had been researching the history of Margaret Sanger and Planned Parenthood and this whole promiscuity abortion movement. By reading some great research books, and I was just so convicted over it that I didn't know this, and so few people really understand the legacy of Margaret Sanger and her worldview, which, by the way, is Malthusian philosophy, you know, controlling population of particularly people that they deem less desirable. And
I want to stop you for 1 second here, because it's important to note that Malthusian philosophy is in direct conflict with the biblical worldview. God said, be fruitful and multiply. But we see today that there is still a population control movement, which was much more popular in the 1960s. But there's still a very strong movement to limit population. And we see it at the United Nations. We see it here in the U.S. The idea that fewer people means a better earth, that's in direct conflict to the Christian worldview. So, please, I'm sorry to have interrupted, but I think that's important. Not many people today, I don't think, know about Malthusian philosophy. So.
Well, no, nor do they understand that it became the social policy of the West. So so many of our laws and policies are based on not the biblical worldview anymore. They're based on Malthusian philosophy.
Right.
And that could probably be a whole other interview.
Yes.
But these are all the things that so interested me. And then, And then a Catholic friend of mine invited me to go to the March for Life, which I had never been. Here I live in Virginia, and, you know, I was never pro-abortion. But I can honestly say I just never thought abortion, you know, would be anything I would ever do. But I didn't feel like a conviction. It was just purely out of ignorance. It wasn't even apathy. I just didn't know. But I went to the March for Life, and seeing all the people and all the, you know, and of course up there you do see some of the pictures, the photographs of aborted babies, which I had never seen. I had never seen an image of an aborted baby. And again, it just so convicted my heart. So that's when I began my years of research. And then one day I was at a prayer vigil at my church, and I asked the Lord. It was one of those fervent prayers. I wanted God to tell me, what did he want me to do with this head full of information? Because I had also taken this information to a black Protestant minister, Pastor Bivens, and I had shared with him a movie that explains the very racist history of Planned Parenthood and Margaret Sanger. And what he told me that day, it changed my life forever, because he said he would never vote for a pro-abortion candidate ever again. And so I'd had all these experiences. He had me go back to his church, teach all of his people, and the response was overwhelmingly positive. They were so thankful. And I realized right then that the issue of life, if we can educate people, it'll unite our country. And because it crossed the racial divide, they were so thankful that I was there. So anyway, so that was the beginning. So I'm at this prayer vigil, and I'm fervently asking the Lord, what do you want me to do with this head full of information and these experiences that I'd had? And the only way I can describe it is it just came swiftly. It wasn't audible, but it was a very loud but unaudible response of, go interview Dr. Bernard Nathanson. And it came over and over again, and I sat there, and I had my one-way monologue with the Lord, telling God all the reasons why this man, Dr. Bernard Nathanson, will never say yes to my interview. And I really didn't understand why God was instructing me to go interview Dr. Nathanson. But long story short, once I got settled with that idea that, okay, I'm supposed to go interview Dr. Nathanson, his number I thought was unlisted, and a Catholic pro-life friend of mine, an attorney, he found the number for me, and I called up there. Dr. Nathanson's wife answered the phone. She told me that he was very sick with terminal cancer, very frail, and he had not granted an interview in over a year. She told me to fax the request up there a couple days later, and I didn't know if he would say yes or no, but he said yes. And so on December 1st, 2009, I flew up to New York to interview Dr. Nathanson, and it was a very heavy, very emotional, I guess you'd say, interview that impacted my life forever because of what he told me and then what I promised him I was going to do.
Terry, can you tell me a little bit about your background? Tell me about your work before publishing your new book, which is mm-hmm. the basis for our conversation, What If We've Been Wrong, by Terry Beatley.
Yeah, I like to say I'm now comfortable sharing this. Before, I really felt like, gosh, I was almost shameful about it. I'm a recovered feminist. And I had never bought the lies of radical feminism, like I said, you know, about abortion. But I had bought the lies. I'm 54 now, but I'd bought all the lies in my late teens, early 20s, that you have to have a big career to be somebody. So all that kind of stuff. So I launched into the investment career. And then I've got married, but we postponed parenthood until 32 and 35. So I actually married my high school sweetheart, but we postponed parenthood until 32. And just really, it took me a number of years to recover from this whole, what I call radical feminism, making women think that motherhood or being a wife is subpar to having a career. So, you know, I had a thriving career until I was 40 years old, and then the Lord laid on my heart that I was to leave that career, and I was at the apex of my career, making lots of money, and to be able to stay home with my children and to homeschool my children. And that's exactly what I did. So I like to say is I dared to do what the feminists have ingrained in women not to do, step out of the career world and have the audacity to stay home with your children. Well, that's what I did from 40 to 48, homeschooled them, and this is when all these discoveries were made. And I still remember realizing that I bought some of the lies that Margaret Sanger, who founded Planned Parenthood, had spewed across America. And so that was the background of how I got to where I'm, what I'm doing today.
And so the point of the book is that you are fulfilling a promise to Dr. Nathanson from when you did have the opportunity to meet him and his wife.
Right.
Tell us about that.
Yeah, so I'm sitting with Dr. Nathanson for about an hour, and it's if your listeners read the book, I'll probably better describe it in the book than I'll do right here, but I'll make my attempt. It was a small, I was expecting this palatial condo up in New York, because he was the co-founder of NARAL. He's the father of America's abortion industry, who obviously later, as we've already mentioned, became Christian, Catholic, and devoted the rest of his life to undo what he had unleashed on America. But I arrive, and it's this very modest little apartment in Manhattan, New York, and it's dark, the shades are drawn, and his wife ushers me in, and around the corner, and there he is, sitting on this long, older sofa with this little chihuahua on his lap. And the reason I give this kind of description is it felt surreal to me to be entering this man's home to sit down with him, a man who I viewed as changing America in such an irrevocable way. We will never be able to recover from what Dr. Nathanson helped to unleash. How do you recover from a country that's lost 60 million people? And so it kind of felt surreal. I make the analogy of you can't understand the Revolutionary War if you don't study George Washington and some of those other leaders. Well, you can't understand how America has so drifted from her moorings, the Declaration of Independence, the right to life, without studying Dr. Bernard Nathanson. So that interview, it was very somber. He suffered greatly from anxiety attacks. His hands, shook. I mean, he could hardly drink a cup of water. And he was very, very frail. But he wanted people to know the truth. And so I sat there and I took notes, through the whole interview, and we started really at his childhood and worked forward. And at the end of the interview, I felt such compassion for this old man. He was 83 years old, and I knew, just I guess you'd say in my spirit, plus I guess just knew practically, that it would be the first and only time I would ever meet him. And I just remember at the end of the interview, I said, Dr. Nathanson, Dr. Nathanson, I know you're too sick to go around and get your message out anymore. If you have a message for America, I promise you I'll deliver it across our country until it becomes common knowledge, or until Roe v. Wade is overturned, whichever one comes first. And I didn't know what he would say, if he'd say anything at all, but he did. He said yes. He said, continue teaching the strategy, because it's an 8-point strategy of how NARAL, he and NARAL deceived America. And then he said, and then tell America that the co-founder of NARAL says to love one another. Abortion is not love. Stop the killing. The world needs more love, and I'm all about love now. And those words just seared in my memory, and his wife was standing right there. I reached out and I shook his hand, and it was the only time during the interview that there was like a little, I guess you'd call it like that little sparkle of hope, a little glimmer of hope in his eyes, a twinkle or however you want to phrase that. And I reached over, shook his hand, and I promised him I'm not going to quit till this, what that promise is, becomes common knowledge. And what I'm finding is that as people read the book and they hear the stories, I do a lot of public speaking, I go to churches and conferences and all that, and it's gaining momentum, because if someone reads that book, I mean, it's heavy material, but it's being delivered in short chapters. It's content rich, but an easy read. That's what I like to say. And the common theme through the whole book is loving other people with truth. What happens? Because I'm actually showing people this is what it looks like to love other people with the truth. And when I say that, it's because of the setting of how I resurrect Dr. Nathanson's story, making it very contemporary. And one of those ways of making it contemporary is as a mother in her, granted I stayed home starting at 40 years old to stay with my children full time, but it was in my 30s I began learning how these same feminists who told me to postpone motherhood and go have a career are the same people who are stealing my parental rights to guide, nurture, and counsel my own children, because this aggressive abortion industry is set up so that they've got judicial bypasses in all 50 states or thereabouts. So they've set it up so that they're my children to guide and counsel, but they have a system that can override my right to guide my own child when she's still a minor.
It's incredible, and it's another reflection of their worldview that this is a good thing if
right.
we take rights away from parents so that we can limit population because the means justify the ends. And you're right.
Right.
It's only one of so many ways that abortion damages everyone it touches. Terry
right.
Beatley is our guest. She's president and founder of the Hosea Initiative, and she's also a graduate of the Chuck Colson Fellows Worldview Program, actively engaged in making her organization something that has an impact at the national level. And we're talking about her book, What If We've Been Wrong? Keeping My Promise to America's Abortion King. So, Terry, tell me a little bit about how this has gone. The book was released just within the last few months. How have things gone for you?
It's going very well. And before I forget, I want to let your listeners know where they can find the book. You can go to the website called www.abortionking.com. Abortionking.com.
We've got about 3 minutes, so if you can
okay,
give us the high-level view of the 8 points.
Sure, yeah. And again, in the book, I go into great detail, but it's still like an easy read. But here are the 8 points. This is off the top of my head, so I hope I can remember them all. The first thing he did was he framed the debate. So let's face it, if NARAL had framed the debate around the right to go kill an unborn child in the womb, they would have been defeated right out of the gate. But they framed it around choice. It's like, oh, choice. Yeah, everybody wants a choice. Just like you go to the grocery store, you can find 18 different types of orange juice. Choice, choice, choice. Americans love choices. They obviously, they weren't talking about the choice to murder an unborn child. The second one was all the cynical slogans that we still hear today. You know, my body, my choice, and all that. They're so commonplace. But back then, they weren't commonplace, and they had to create them, invent them. Number three, they used the complicit media, because Dr. Nathanson was an OBGYN. And so he'd stand in front of these young female reporters who most of these women probably wanted abortion to become legal, and he would tell them anything that would tickle their ears. Well, many of the things he told them were bald-faced lies. So that's the fourth point, the lies. He would give them false data and then false polling. So the false data were things like this. He would tell the reporters that 1 million women a year are having back-alley abortions, and 10,000 women a year are dying due to these back-alley abortions. You know, we have an epidemic situation on our hands. Well, that was all lies. The real number at the very high side was about 100,000 illegal abortions, not 1 million. And there were not 10,000 women a year dying. They were at the high side, and this is really at the super high side, 200 to 250, if that. The fifth point was he would use false polling. They hired for $7,500 a PR firm to teach them how to spin all this stuff to really turn the heart and mind of the compassionate American. So they would tell the media that 60% of Americans want legalized abortion. The real number was 0.5%. The next one is it became the self-fulfilling lie, because he would justify it. Well, look, the women are going to go do this anyway. Let's just get it legal so that they're not felons, you know, nor the doctors. Well, the real number was about 100,000. He said 1 million. Well, as soon as they legalized it in New York City, it became the self-fulfilling lie. So immediately 250,000 women went to New York to get abortions, and then before you knew it, across the country, we had 1 million women a year killing their own children. And then the next point is they would repeat the lie often. And, you know, in the media, if you repeat a lie long enough, often enough, it becomes the marketed, quote, truth. And then the last point is the Catholic strategy. Dr. Nathanson and the NARAL team up in New York, they knew they had a problem on their hands, because they were trying to overturn the New York law. But what does New York have? They have a lot of Catholic voters. And according to Catholic doctrine, you're not to do anything to hurt, harm, or kill the unborn child. And so they had to separate the Catholic voters' religious doctrine from their legislative judgment. And this was very, very intentional. This is why today we have so many Catholics who, unashamedly, without even thinking twice, they'll go vote for a pro-choice, pro-abortion candidate. And Dr. Nathanson called this, he called the Catholic strategy, quote, the most brilliant political strategy of all time. And that Catholic strategy is killing our country. It's killing our babies. It's killing, it's killing peace, just like Mother Teresa said.
Terry Beatley's book, What If We've Been Wrong? Keeping My Promise to America's Abortion King. And we'll have links to Terry's organizations at cradlemyheart.org. Thank you so much for being our guest today.
Oh, thank you, Kim. Thanks for having me.
Stay with us now. Phones are open. We'd love to hear your reaction. 1-800-811-3003 here at Cradle My Heart Radio.
A safe place to connect with others. Finding God's love after abortion. This is Cradle My Heart Radio.
This is where the healing begins. Oh, this is where the healing starts. When you come to where you're broken within, the light meets the dark. The light meets the dark.
Cradle My Heart. With Kim Cotola. Join the conversation. Call toll-free 800-811-3003. 800-811-3003.
Thank you so much for being with us. This is Cradle My Heart, and this is our live portion of the broadcast on this 4th of June, 2017, which also happens to be Pentecost. And if you were in worship today, you heard the story of how tongues of fire fell on them in Jerusalem. And it's such a riveting story, and it's such an inspiring story. And I was brought to mind a teaching that I heard years ago that I want to share with you to start things off tonight. And our phones are open for you at 1-800-811-3003. We do have a pro-life resource for you tonight, and that is the book by Bernard Nathanson, The Hand of God, which tells his story that Terry Beatley fleshed out for us from her interview with Dr. Nathanson before he died. It's a wonderful read. It is essential knowledge if you want to understand how we got to where we are with abortion as a discussion of women's rights at the expense of the rights of men and children. 1-800-811-3003. You must join us on the air with a question or comment if you would like to receive a copy of Dr. Nathanson's book, but we would love to hear from you. Why don't you give us a call and join the conversation? Were you surprised? Were you recognizing the tactics in our featured interview that Terry Beatley was outlining from Dr. Nathanson, including denigrating the Catholic Church directly? And the rhetoric and the fake news. It's the original fake news. They used public polling to try to sway public opinion, and they just fabricated statistics. 1-800-811-3003. It's a really stunning story if you've never heard it and read it. And I think probably what was most stunning for me personally reading Dr. Nathanson's autobiography, The Hand of God, is his personal involvement with abortion before he began to perform them on women. He was crushed by an abortion on a woman that he deeply loved. Less so the second time around. And then his heart became hardened, and that's pretty much the way the pattern can go. Not always, but that's the way the pattern can go. So much of what he did in his work as an atheist abortionist was a reaction to those personal experiences. So it's a really important story. We'd love to get a copy for you at 1-800-811-3003. Dr. Nathanson became a Christian. He became pro-life first and then a Christian, and it was the study of the development of the fetus that persuaded him that he'd been wrong about everything. A really stunning story. And, you know, you wonder about the role of the Holy Spirit in that path for him. I wonder about it. And what I was going to tell you regarding Pentecost today is when I was studying for my degree in Christian ministry, we had a course that was basics. Professor Mark Muska at University of Northwestern, and he assigned a research project where we had to ask two or three mature Christians in our lives to share with us the most important thing for maturing as a Christian. What is it that you must do in order to grow as a Christian? And there were about 20 of us in the class, and when we came back to turn our papers in, we were brainstorming, and Professor Muska was writing our ideas on the board of what things we had come up with. And, well, you've got to pray every day. You have to have personal devotions. You need to be reading the scriptures. You need to be connected to a local church. You need to be in Bible study. There were all the things that make up the life of the disciple. And at the end of the discussion, Professor Muska said something that I've never forgotten. He said, the most important thing that we must do to grow as Christians is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that drives our growth as Christians. It's the Holy Spirit that allows us to call Jesus Lord. It's the Holy Spirit that opens the eyes of our hearts to the meaning of Scripture. It's the Holy Spirit that brings new life. And so he pointed us to Ephesians 5:18, do not be drunk with wine, but instead be filled with the Holy Spirit, and encouraged us that this is something that we can ask for. The reception of the Holy Spirit is a very scriptural thing for Christians to ask for the Holy Spirit. Every Christian, if we don't have the Holy Spirit, it says, you know, then we don't belong to Christ in Romans 8:9. If we don't have the Spirit of Christ, we don't belong to him. But according to Luke 11:13, we must ask for the Holy Spirit. And these are Jesus' words. He said, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And I think this is such an important concept. And if you have never asked to be filled with the Holy Spirit, I would encourage you to pray in that direction, because this is what really activated my faith. It was such a key turning point in the healing journey after abortion. And, you know, my husband and I have often asked ourselves, well, we were sitting in, you know, a really great Bible preaching church after we had become born again as adults in our late 30s. We had divorce in our past, and we came to Christ as adult believers. And we were sitting under great biblical preaching week in and week out, and we were attending Bible studies. But even with that, there was a long period, probably 8-9 years. Well, was that the Word of God being planted in us and then some water and God gives the increase, you know? Or was it when we asked for the Holy Spirit that suddenly all of that teaching became activated in us? We really have come to decide that it's the presence of the Holy Spirit that changed everything in both of our faith walks. And so maybe you want to talk about the Holy Spirit today on Pentecost. It was a great sermon you want to share with us, the key thoughts or a favorite Bible verse that you have about the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. That would be a great topic of conversation. 1-800-811-3003 is our number for you to join the conversation and receive a copy of our pro-life resource tonight, The Hand of God. And this is A Journey from Death to Life by the abortion doctor who changed his mind, Bernard Nathanson, M.D., one of the founders of NARAL, which helped to make abortion constitutionally protected in the Roe v. Wade decision. If you don't know his history, you really don't know the history of the abortion rights movement in America. And you don't know the deception and lies upon which that policy was crafted. 1-800-811-3003. If you would like to receive a copy of The Hand of God and join us with a question or comment tonight here on Cradle My Heart Radio. I'm Kim Cotola, and you can go to cradlemyheart.org and access all of our resources. We love to put up the podcast for you so that if you're not able to listen to the broadcast when it comes out, that you can listen at your leisure, catch up maybe if you are on the road or, again, not able to listen week in and week out. We just want to get the resources into your hands because we're here to save lives, to prevent abortion, and to help those whom it has hurt. And, of course, that's all of the children. That's all of the children who have lost their lives to abortion. but it's devastating to everyone that it touches. To the women who make that choice or have that choice taken from them. To the men who lose their children and their legacy as fathers. To grandparents, to siblings, to friends and advisors. 1-800-811-3003. Would love to hear your thoughts tonight about Pentecost, about the Holy Spirit, or maybe you want to talk about the Maddie Runkles case. I have a friend who is very protective of Maddie. She doesn't know Maddie, but she, you know, as the story was unfolding, after the New York Times printed Maddie's story that she is pregnant at a Christian high school, and she was censured, lost her position in student government, and told that she could not walk at her graduation. Her father brought Students for Life of America into the situation. They brought Maddie's story to the attention of the American people. And over the weekend, Maddie got a graduation ceremony, which was sponsored and hosted by Students for Life. About 100 family and friends, many from Students for Life of America, were there helping Maddie to celebrate. And they had amassed nearly 7,000 messages of support that poured in from people around the world who encouraged her and were inspired by her. And, you know, when Maddie's story came out, a couple people came to me and I said, this is not rare. Christian institutions of higher learning, whether it's high schools or colleges, have been driving abortion decisions ever since abortion became legal, and probably before that time, because of the need to cover sexual sin. But, of course, being pregnant is not a sin. And there were some great ethical articles that I came upon this week, and maybe you did too as you thought this one through, that just said, you know, if she was being punished for breaking the school's rules about a morality pledge, that should be a one-time punishment to take from her the right for her to receive the academic achievement of her graduation is overkill. But there are concerns about what sort of an example she's setting, whether or not this is condoning teen pregnancy and fornication, sexual activity outside of marriage. And I'd love to hear your thoughts about it. I'd love to hear if you had any conversations with young people in your life, if it became a topic of conversation around the dinner table with your teens, with your young adult children and young people in your life. 1-800-811-3003. We can talk about the Maddie Runkles case. I think Maddie is, I think she's very strong, and I think she's going to do well. Seems to be doing well in the short term. She has the support of her family. A lot of people said, well, was the boyfriend censured? Well, apparently he's not a student at that school. And of course, you know, one of the things that we want right away is justice, and that's not really where the conversation should go either, is it? What do you think? 1-800-811-3003. For our callers tonight, we have a copy of The Hand of God, A Journey from Death to Life by the Abortion Doctor Who Changed His Mind. And he's also the abortion doctor who changed policy and saw to it that abortion became legal in all 50 states due to the Roe v. Wade decision. Dr. Bernard Nathanson's autobiography, The Hand of God. 1-800-811-3003 is our number, and we'll give you a chance to get to the phone and give us a call now and join us with your question or comment to receive a copy of Dr. Nathanson's book right now. 1-800-811-3003. Join us. This is Cradle My Heart Radio.
A safe place to connect with others. Finding God's love after abortion. Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cattola. Call toll free at 800-811-3003. Seeking to help others find God's love after abortion. Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cattola. Call toll free at 800-811-3003.
That is our number, and our phones are open, 1-800-811-3003. We are live on this Pentecost, the 4th of June, 2017, and seeking your thoughts about the role of the Holy Spirit in preserving life, the role of the Holy Spirit in the development of your faith, Let me give a chance to give a testimony. I would love to hear that story, the role of the Holy Spirit in the development of your faith. Or maybe you want to talk about the Maddie Runkles story. And not necessarily to talk about Maddie or Heritage Academy, but to talk about maybe a situation you're aware of where a student was kicked out of school because of pregnancy. Policies that said you may not attend this institution if you are pregnant. Those policies have been in place at Christian high schools and colleges for a lot of years. And sometimes even the fear of that policy will drive an abortion decision. What do you think about that? And what's a better way to address the issue? 1-800-811-3003. And we have a caller coming in from Sioux Falls. Let's welcome Linda to the program. Hi, Linda. How are you tonight?
Yes, thank you. I appreciate your program very much. And I just want to say that over the years, I've heard different people talk about the inside of the abortion industry, and I think that this is a fantastic book to get the full story out there and to be better able to argue why abortion is not a good choice, a moral choice, a godly choice. And I think the more facts that one has, and how it came down to this road, how we believe a lie, I think that book would be helpful.
Great. Well, thank you for your call. We'll absolutely get you a copy of it. Stay on the phone, and we'll get your information off the air. Linda, are you engaged in pro-life witnessing or in a pro-life ministry of any kind right now?
No, but I've prayed for people. In the past, I have done, I don't know if it was a very gentle or not, but the beginning of trying to get people to wake up, I would call an abortion clinic and say, you know, something to the effect that I think that what you're doing is wrong, and that God loves you, and please stop.
Wow, that's bold. That's bold. That's awesome. Well, yeah, I think that this book will prove very helpful. So please stay on the line so we can get your address and we'll get you a copy of The Hand of God. And, you know, I want to encourage you, if you want to, like Linda, do something, if you want to feel better equipped to have this conversation, if you want to know more about the reality of what is happening with abortion, you know, this is such a big problem. Often it's a debate. It's an abstraction. It's an idea. It's a word. We hear that it's a right and it's private. And, you know, with couple all of that with the denial of the humanity of the child, and it's very easy to become very complacent. It's very easy to not know what in the world to do about that. And I think Linda's impulse is right, that we have to know the truth. The more that we can know about the practices and the policies of the abortion industry from the inside, the better we can address what it is that they're doing. You know, there was another set of undercover videos released last week, more gruesome than the last. And there were court orders taking them down off of YouTube, but if you go to Center for Medical Progress, you can access them. More horrific than the last. They've been releasing these videos since 2015. And someone said, you know, what will it take? Someone made the comparison that, you know, with the Kathy Griffin scandal and her depraved imagery holding, you know, President Trump's head, there's a righteous outcry. That was absolutely right and proper. When these videos came out depicting actual dismemberment, where was the outrage? Where was the scandal? Where was the price to be paid? Whose career was lost? So, yes, knowing the truth is a great place to start. And thank you so much, Linda, for your call. Our phones are still open at 1-800-811-3003, 1-800-811-3003. And I'll just remind you once more that we have an underwriting grant with Life Training Institute so that I can come and bring the Case for Life apologetics training to a Christian high school, church, pregnancy center near you. I also have the ability to travel at a very reasonable rate, which would be helpful for organizations outside of the Atlanta area. And it's my joy and my passion to do this training, to help you feel confident that you can make the case for life from science and philosophy and from moral reasoning, and that people don't have to be Christian to agree with you. And again, that's the arc of the story with Dr. Bernard Nathanson. He was a Jewish atheist who was a pro-choice abortionist. And a little child led him, if you will. It was the fetal imagery in ultrasound and fetal development that persuaded him that he was wrong and that these are human beings, and eventually stopped doing abortions altogether. But it wasn't a Christian argument that persuaded him. I'm not saying that we shouldn't use Christian persuasion. You know, God's word says that his word will not return to him void. We absolutely can stand on scripture. But the most effective way to reach people who are not Christian and to close the door to them dismissing you out of hand is to argue from science and philosophy and from moral reasoning. And it's, you can be trained to do this with great confidence. And again, we're training high school students to be able to do it. This is something that everyone can grasp. So please send me an email, kim@cradlemyheart.org, if that's something that you're interested in having us come and do. We would be blessed to be able to do that for your organization. And please do go to cradlemyheart.org after the broadcast is over or while you're listening tonight. We're in the midst of a fundraising campaign. We've launched our Cradle My Heart Today daily radio feature that's airing on most of these radio stations where you hear our long-form program. And now we're adding videos, a weekly video that's going to appear on social media. And also we have a pledge from a broadcast outlet that will reach 69 million homes for a very, very affordable rate. And if you'd like to be part of our fundraising and help us with that, we would really be blessed. If you just go to cradlemyheart.org, you'll find instructions about how to give safely online there. We are a 501c3 organization, and so all of the gifts that you would give are fully tax deductible. And thank you for praying for that and for praying for us, whether or not you're in a position to give or whether or not the Lord leads you to give, because, you know, this is a spiritual battle. We return to the role of the Holy Spirit. This is a spiritual battle. And in the aftermath of abortion, the most important things to me were the spiritual questions. Was God angry at me? Had I doomed myself to hell forever? Had I sent an innocent baby to hell? I had a lot of incomplete teaching and a lot of poor discipleship that caused some of these questions, which we don't need to struggle with. We don't need to torture ourselves with questions like that. God's word is very clear that Jesus came to make a way for us to go and be with him in his Father's house in heaven. He's not trying to keep us out of heaven. Jesus' life witnesses that he came to bring us to himself. And I believe with all of my heart that when he said, "Let the little children come to me," that he's received those children back to himself who were lost in abortion. You know, but these are spiritual questions. We're never going to get a satisfactory answer from the world. We probably won't get one from psychological counseling. I tried that for a lot of years. And, you know, the official position of the American Psychological Association is that, hey, there's no mental health problem after abortion. We know that's not true. And if you go to cradlemyheart.org and just search mental health and abortion, you'll find what the truth is on those questions. But even there, what is satisfying is finding the spiritual truth of God's love for us. The spiritual truth that says, Jesus says, "Whoever comes to me, I will in no way cast out." When Jesus says, "Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you." And when the Holy Spirit comes to assure us that we are God's children, as it says in Romans 8, that the Holy Spirit witnesses with our spirit that we are children of God and heirs and co-heirs with Christ. These are things that can only be spiritually discerned. And so I pray that this Pentecost has been a special blessing for your spiritual life, your life in the Holy Spirit, and that if abortion is part of your story, that you would turn to the Holy Spirit now, tonight, in prayer. Ask Him to fill you. Ask Him to show you the truth. Ask Him to provide people for your healing and for your grace, and to help you understand the knowledge of God's plan for you, despite what you've done up to and including abortion. All you need to know about my story is how far Jesus went to bring me back to Himself, and it was right to that very day of the abortion. Jesus loves you that much. I pray that you will know it and that you will believe it and claim it for your own today. Thank you so much for listening. Learn more and access all of our free resources at cradlemyheart.org. And join us next week as we take a look at the impact of abortion on men and young men in particular. Remember, Jesus loves you, and so do we. Thanks for listening.